Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstteeclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan right now, brought to you by Ford and your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. It is Dallas Cowboys Executive Vice President Stephen Jones. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, guys.
Before we get to anything that happened on the field, I was curious just your takeaway on the salute to service game. I know that's always a big deal for you guys, both in season and out of season.
Well, we all know how we feel about the people who, going all the way back to the beginning, give us our freedoms and the opportunities we have. And it's certain that's obviously very important to our family and our thoughts on the Medal of Honor and what we think of those gentlemen. But, in general, just all the people who have served in the past and who are serving for us now and who will serve in the future. It's so important for all our freedoms, and it means a lot to us. And, you just can't say enough for these men who, many who have given up their lives or have affected their lives forever.
Not the season as a whole, but particularly the start of the home season for you guys, 0-4. Do you feel like the beginning of this home slate for the Cowboys this season has been embarrassing?
Well, it's very disappointing at the end of the day. We hold ourselves to a high standard here. It starts at the top with Jerry and I. This is, I think when you're struggling like we are right now, and certainly I understand the disappointment in the fans and the frustration with our fans and the people who follow us and, of course, just internally. But it's a holistic deal. I think everybody has to look in the mirror and look at where we are as a team right now. And, we just all have to, from top to bottom, have to continue to look at, where we've ended up and how that happened and how we keep that from happening. And then, of course, how we get better with our remaining eight games.
Now, obviously, when it comes to like what could happen, players cannot be re-signed, coaches can be fired. But when you talk about it starts at the top, people always are curious, what kind of repercussions do you and Jerry face? I know you guys aren't going to fire yourself, but what kind of repercussions do you think y'all face when the team isn't good?
I just think we have to look at how we get better, and that's what we'll continue to do. We've had a good run where we went, when we won 12 games, I think, only Kansas City did a better job, but at the same time, we didn't have the success in the postseason that we wanted. And then, of course, to have this situation happen is certainly disappointing for anybody who follows the Cowboys, who thinks about the Cowboys as their team. They deserve better than that, and we'll continue to look for ways to improve upon that.
With eight games remaining, Stephen, what's your biggest concern going forward for each one of those games? Like, looking at your own team, what's the big concern of what you need to accomplish here?
I wouldn't say it's a concern. I think it's just we have to continue to go to work and get better. I'm convinced that the guys are going to be here for the long haul, and you know, guys who take pride in what they do every day will go to work and look for ways that we can play better and we can improve. Certainly, like I said, it's just disappointing, and it's top to bottom, and we'll continue to look for ways to improve.
It did look yesterday, there were moments, the offensive line, like it had as good a protection as I'd seen. I was like, oh man, this is really nice to see. And then, you know, there was a fumble at the goal line and something like that.
Yeah.
I often wonder how, like, what can a coach do when you know, to create a different, like, we got to be more consistent. I don't know how coaches coach that out of a team.
Well, Mike McCarthy's been in this league a long time, and he certainly had a lot of success in this league. He's won Super Bowls. He's been to conference championship games. You know, he's been at the highest level, and I know he's also had, seasons where he's been challenged and disappointing seasons. So he understands that. Mike Zimmer the same way, and Bones the same way. It's we've got a coaching staff who've been doing this for many, many years. They have a lot of experience, and you just have to pull on that experience and go to work. I saw defensively as well, where we're showing signs of improvement, but the consistency and the consistent execution is not there. And then, of course, we all understand, which was a staple of ours for, when we had our three seasons there where we won 12 games, one thing we were consistently doing is winning the turnover battle. We were getting the ball and we were protecting the ball. And certainly that hadn't been the case this year. And especially the last couple of games, I mean, you turn the ball over five times, you're just not going to get the job done many times. And we all know that. And we just got to go to work. It's going to be one of those weeks. We got to get back to work. And we've got to look for ways to protect the ball. And we also got to look for ways to go get the ball.
My co-host Kevin here almost passed out whenever DeMarvion Overshown was down on the ground.
Oh my gosh!
Because that's been his guy. It's his pet cat all season, and he's been very excited about it. The update is that it's just bursitis. He's good to go though.
It looks like we got a great shot of having him back for this week. He's having a great season and a season where it's been difficult, and certainly him getting a little help out there, getting Micah back out on the field, I think only improves his opportunity to make big plays, and hopefully we'll continue to get healthier as we progress here. And, you know, obviously when you lose your starting franchise quarterback, you're going to have challenges, and we've got to we can be better than that. We've done it before when we hadn't had Dak, and Cooper's been the one who's done that, and we just have to play better offensively. And like I said, there were times out there where the defense really showed they could make some plays, but we just have to continue to improve.
Speaking about Dak, the reports are out there that he's going to look for one more opinion, but do you think it's likely at this point that he will in fact get season-ending surgery?
I'm not going to speculate. That's why he's having the opinion, so we'll see what happens after that.
And then you mentioned Cooper Rush has been successful in the past. Is it still, it's Cooper Rush's job? Will there be, do you know if there'll be any sort of competition, or will you still try to come up with some packages specifically for Trey Lance in these games?
Yeah, that'll be up to Mike. I'll defer to Mike on that. Obviously, he had some packages he wanted to get in for Trey in this game. And certainly, we'll see how that progresses this week in terms of what he'll decide to do between Cooper and Trey.
Was there anything that you saw from Trey that you liked specifically?
Yeah, I mean, his athletic ability, I think, jumps out at you in terms of, him being able to move in the pocket. And when he gets loose, he's obviously got, he can run the football really well. And then I think the zip, his velocity on his ball was good as well. But, this is just a work in progress. And like I said, I'll defer to Mike on how we proceed this week. But he'll continue to look at that.
What is the what do you believe the prognosis is going forward with Tyler Guyton? Because I know obviously he did not play yesterday. How are y'all feeling about him?
he made a lot of progress as the week went, and he was in this morning early, and I think they feel really good about him playing this week.
I
thought Awesome Richards stepped up and did a nice job yesterday.
I would absolutely be inclined to agree with that. Do you have anything you can tell us about, I guess, the setback that happened with De'Ron Bland? Because for a while it looked like he was ahead of progress, you know, and could come back sooner, and then we've still been waiting to see him make his debut.
Yeah, I think it's just getting it to where he feels like he can do the things he needs to play on Sunday and cover in this league the type of receivers that you go against. And certainly he's, you know, he's close, but he's, you know, just hadn't been there yet. We'll see how this week goes.
All right. Appreciate the time very much. Good, sir. We'll catch up with you again next Monday.
Sounds good, guys.
There you go. Stephen Jones right here on 105.3 The Fan. And I see the...
His name is Awesome Richards, by the way.
Yes.
Some people are like, hold on, is his name really Awesome?
Yes. I see the frustration. I feel like the questions were asked. And when people said he didn't answer your question about what are the repercussions to y'all if you don't get better, the repercussions are nothing. Like, if you're really looking for an answer to that, that's the answer. It's nothing.
All right, Kevin, and... So here's, let me ask you that question. And you don't have a boss. And you have a radio show. You have your own podcast.
Yeah.
What is the repercussion?
I mean, I could make the same argument because...
No. But like, I would probably say the repercussion to me is my own personal...
Yes.
Like, my own personal things that drive
me. They never seem to answer the question like that. And everybody is different. Like, everybody is different... But I would think at some point, you know, Steven or Jerry would be like, then they did say, take a look in the mirror. But if I was answering that question, I would be like, the repercussion is I have to take a look at myself and understand why am I not good enough to do this?
Yeah.
And what needs to happen because of
that. How can I get better? Yeah, there are definitely a lot of other things you can say. And then saying, you know, the fans deserve better. That's a reality. That's a fact.
How can you say that when only the Kansas City Chiefs have won more regular season football games?
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
In them the last 3 years.
And I remember, and that's why I think he answers the rest of it now, because when he said that, I don't know, a few weeks ago, we're like, yeah, but they also won Super Bowls. And that's why I think you get the rest of the answer of, but we understand we haven't had the same postseason success. And
yeah, there's a reality. They get
unlucky.
That they get. And the position that they're in right now, I did not think, Kevin, I don't understand a lame duck head coach thing being a problem for guys that are paid millions of dollars to win games.
I agree with you.
But I wonder if maybe that reality is the coach rather than the players. The coach is like, man, why am I going to give all of this stuff? But then again, there's coaches. Those coaches, that's what they do. They take a lot of pride in that. So I still have never understood how a season like that happens, but it happens more consistently than it doesn't the other way. You'd think that they would rally and say, let's go win one for the Gipper and all that stuff. I guess everybody's politics. Right about that. Is that what the Gipper's a politics thing?
Reagan played him.
Oh, is that what
that's
it was?
The only reason. Yeah, that's the only reason.
I'll be honest. I always just thought it was a Notre Dame thing.
No, yeah, it's not really politics.
But you just think that they would rally, but this history has proven to us that that's not the way it is. That coach is on that final year for a reason, and it's because the success hasn't been there, and now you give the team the opportunity to say, well, did we really have to do it anyway?
I know it doesn't actually make a difference. And if people want to tell me I'm a fool for thinking this, that's fair. I understand. But that's one of the questions I asked about if it's been embarrassing, is because I think back about just this year, Chris Young was like, this season has been embarrassing. I'm embarrassed about how it's gone. And then we asked Boach about that, and he goes, yeah, I think that is a fair word to use, embarrassment. And so it doesn't change anything. Like, if Stephen Jones would have just been like, you know what, you're right, this season has been an embarrassment, that doesn't change anything. But it's the little things of, I'd say it's a disappointment, that I think frustrate Cowboys fans. I'll just speak for me. I'm a Cowboys fan. I grew up, I was born and raised in this Metroplex. I've lived here my entire life. Those are the kind of things that just like agitate me a little bit, probably just because we're losing.
Mm-hmm. And I guess I made the word embarrassed far dirtier than it should be.
Embarrassed.
It almost like when I asked that, because, and again, I'm only saying this, when I asked that question to Jerry that day, it wasn't
embarrassed?
It wasn't to tell him you should be embarrassed. I was. As a fan, they were, in my opinion, that day, they were better than that Bears team that they lost to the night before. Right now, Kevin, they're not better than the teams that they're playing.
Yeah.
The way that the season was set up to fail, that's the embarrassment of it all. And that's why I think that they definitely are going, man, we have to take a lot of this. But who's going to take a lot of it? It's going to be the coaching staff.
Yep.
Like, it's a real weird place that they're in. And I can almost guarantee you they're almost like, I can't wait for this season to be over. That's probably how they feel. So we can, because we don't have the talent, we can't find any more talent, and we got to move on from our coaching staff.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next. Oh, I don't know if people are going to like this topic. This feels like rock bottom for the Cowboys season, but it could probably still get worse, right?
How?
We'll walk you through that a little bit next right here on The Fan.
Barkley's back in. They fake to him. Hurts runs it up the middle with a blocker in front and bangs across the goal line. Touchdown, Philadelphia.
You could tell by the general disappointment and disinterest from Brad Sham right there that was going to be a touchdown. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Now, here's the question that I have. I hate asking this, but I guess I could have stopped and I didn't. So here we go. This feels like rock bottom for the Cowboys season, but it could probably still get worse, right? There are two plays in particular that made me feel like we had hit rock bottom. I'm going to go ahead and go to the TV call for cut number 28. I thought Jim Nance did a really good job of laying out how embarrassing this play was.
Third and nine. Ball's back. Knocked out of his hands. Cowboy lineman. Football follies. And maybe Philadelphia has it. Oh, my goodness. The Keystone Cops just broke out here on the field. And the Cowboys have yet another low light.
There's a minute 14 left in the third quarter. Cooper Rush fumbles it again. And then Terrence Steele decides he's going to pick up the ball two different times and, I don't know, convert on the third and nine. He fails to fall on the ball. Hunter Lipke thinks about getting on the ball for a second, but also doesn't, because he's like, Terrence Steele's got this. Surely he's going to fall on the ball so we can punt it as opposed to try to convert for a first down. But no, that's not what happened at all. That's play one. Play two is when Eric Kendricks and the Cowboys in general had a 4-on-1 against Saquon Barkley. It's Saquon Barkley against four Cowboys defenders. He gets from the 22 to the 1 yard line, despite a 1-on-4 deficit and the fact that the Cowboys committed a penalty.
Yeah, he should have been stopped way back at the backfield. That play should have never happened at all.
Those two plays encapsulated like so much of what's wrong with this season. And then you get blown out at home again by a division rival, perhaps your most hated division rival. And I'm like, this is rock bottom. This is as bad as it's going to get. But then you look ahead to the schedule, or you hear Jerry Jones talking about how we should tear down the stadium because we can't put curtains up or whatever. It feels like it's going to get worse.
It absolutely can get worse because this isn't a disciplined team. That play right there that you talked about with Terrence Steele trying to pick up the ball, every offensive lineman knows you jump on the ball and you lay on top of it. That's the rule.
Yep.
And a team that's desperate and trying to make something happen out of nothing does something like that and then creates more problems. Lots of people texting me saying, why don't we do this? Why don't we do that? I'm like, look, man, this team's not good enough to do the things that you want to do right now. The talent's not good enough. You do things like that, you're going to get them injured. You're going to get them hurt even more than they already are. If you're a good team, you can try some things out. If you're a bad team, you have to be good at the basics, and they're not even good at that right now. So yes, Kevin, with all the opponents that they have coming up, it can definitely get a lot worse for them.
Now,
is your rock bottom, you're mentioning this.
Yeah.
Is this rock bottom for you, the fan, rock bottom for the players, rock bottom for the coaches, rock bottom for the Jones family? Because I think
I don't think it's for the Jones family. Right,
there's four different
people. That's a great point.
Like,
fair. I'll say for the fan and the team, it's a little tougher on the team because I just can't like speculate about what their mindset is. I can only talk about me as the fan, but I think for the team as well, but then again, maybe not. I do not think this is rock bottom for the Jones family whatsoever. I honestly, we talked about this earlier. I think one of their rock bottoms would be if they got flexed out. I think if they got flexed out of one of their primetime games, that would hurt their feelings more than some of these losses.
Yeah. When you think, oh, we'll see in a lot of Eagles fans in the stadium, that's not the thing that's going to be a rock bottom for them by any means.
Because they're still in the stadium.
The tickets are sold. So that's definitely the thing for them, for the coaching staff, for the fans. Mike, that's always a curiosity. I don't know exactly when the point was for you, because you've become a very, I mean, laissez-faire is not even the right word, but you've become one of those that's just like, whatever, with them. When was there a game moment that you went, no, or was it always a Jerry Jones specific type thing?
I think it was a buildup. I don't think it's like, this is the moment, but I would say just watching playoff loss after playoff loss and then play their worst, and then there doesn't seem to be any type of transition in any offseason to change the way you do things. You look at teams that lose a World Series, lose an NBA Finals like the Mavericks did, and they're like, all right, and is this going to work or not, getting Klay Thompson and changing this and that out? Like, teams really try to change if they didn't win the championship. Yeah. And it's like, they just go about it, go, no, we got spring break. I got awesome places to be. Spring break, like, that's free agency, dude. Like, you should be working really hard. Like, no, it's Highland Park spring break, man. I got my grandkids to hang out with.
So it was like the all-encompassing thing.
It's just
thing.
All, like, you can tell it's, to me, a franchise that's not trying their best to win.
I'm going to argue against that a little bit in a different perspective. I agree with your philosophy about how we need to actually adopt 24/7, 365 as a talent acquisition. But you hear Jerry say it so much. You just heard Steven say it, what, like three times in that interview we just had? I don't think they totally view these last three seasons like that at all. I think they're like, man, I really wish people would shut up about the playoffs because we won 36 games in the regular season. It's just us in Kansas City. Why don't they view it from that perspective of it's just us in Kansas City? So I don't think they went to the drawing board, because I'm telling you, I really don't think that they view it as that bad.
I'm with you.
I think they're just like, what can you do?
When Trayvon Diggs stepped out to talk to a reporter, when Micah Parsons starts saying, and listen, the first part of what Micah Parsons says is absolutely right. You want to play for the guys in the room, the guys that have been doing it, the Zach Martins. Mike McCarthy can physically go coach anywhere else that he wants to if something happened to him next year. Zach Martin might not be able to play anymore after next season. That's a possibility.
Do you want us to specifically? Yeah.
Let's play this audio.
I don't think we have this. I think this is a different question. We can play cut 15 if you want, but I think this is just Micah speaking about Mike McCarthy's future. I can take you into his other quote, though.
Mike's on the final year of his contract, so outside there's, of course, going to be questions. What's the sentiment inside the locker room, and what do you tell people who are wondering about whether McCarthy will be your coach next year?
You know, that's above my pay grade about if Mike is coaching again next year. But, you know, all coaching aside, Mike can leave and go wherever he wants, but the guys I kind of feel bad for is guys like Zach Martin and guys who might be on their last year or on their way out, you know, because that's who I wanted to hold the trophy for. You know, you want to win games and do great things with those type of legends who put in more time and work than Mike McCarthy ever did. So those are the kind of guys that I have so much sympathy and hurt for.
But that right there, that second part of it can be looked at as finger pointing or I don't care about that guy. And that's where the next phase of rock bottom is, Kevin, to go along with this segment is right now they've done a good job of trying to hold things together and be with each other as a team. They've done a good job of it. But as things start to seep in and leadership on the team starts to see it's not going to go this way and next year is going to be different, finger pointing can start happening, fights on sidelines. There's a lot more that can happen before the end of this season that you can almost predict will because of the tension that's going on in the locker room between them and the media and so much more.
Do you think it's weird that, and maybe I'm off base, you can be like, I don't think that is an accurate statement, that it feels like the two biggest talking points right now coming out of, you got your ass handed to you, all right? You got destroyed in this game. And it feels like the two biggest talking points are Micah finishing out by saying, Zach Martin and these other legends who put in more time than Mike McCarthy ever did, and why don't we put up curtains? It feels weird that you just went up against a division rival and you got smoked. And that's the two things that we're talking about.
Yeah, and Jerry loves that.
You're right about that.
I know this because I know Chris Young. If this happened with the Rangers, let's just, Corey Seager, I know he doesn't talk to the media much at all, but Corey Seager is, I guess, kind of trying to compare him to Micah Parsons as arguably the best player on the team. If Corey Seager said that about one of the coaches, or let's just say Bruce Bochy, and was talking about a veteran player on the team, let's take Nathan Eovaldi or Max Scherzer or something like that, Chris Young would be furious and would call him into a room and go, what the hell are you talking about? Jerry loves this because it's been on, they lost 34-6 and they are the main headline on ESPN. They are the main headline on NFL.com. And so Jerry actually loves when Trayvon Diggs did what he did to, I'm sorry, for Mike Leslie, right?
Yes.
Mike Leslie. And then I think that, honestly, Jerry loves that it's about curtains right now. Jerry loves that Micah Parsons intentionally or unintentionally took a major shot at the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. He loves all that. He is not going to call in Micah Parsons and say, what the crap are you doing?
Yeah.
You know, are you kidding me? We're getting our butts handed to us and you're going to take a shot at our coach right now? Like, what kind of leadership is that? But
that's the thing that needs to happen.
Jerry's smiling about that.
Yeah, because he likes to stir it up.
And that's legitimately what he told us.
Because it's on right now. Literally, I can look at the television, and Micah Parsons is leading SportsCenter ESPN right now.
Heck, we might be on the news. Yeah, who knows?
It's amazing to me, but that's the leadership, too, is that Jerry is making sure that that's good. That's not bad. What Trayvon Diggs is good. That's not bad.
And that goes back many years, right? When Jalen Smith, after they got flexed, Kevin, they got flexed. And Jalen Smith said, if the owner's okay with it, we are too. And that was a moment where we were like, the owner shouldn't be. The GM should not be okay with that. That should infuriate him so much that heads are going to roll. You know, that should be that way. And it's not going to be that way, man. And this season's a tough one. It's one that they have to sit back and say, how do we fix it? And do they have the ammunition to be able to do it on the other side, though? And right now, because of the money spent on Dak, the money spent on CD, those are where the expectations were, because that money was spent on those guys, that they're going to be that good of a team, they're going to be that high-paid team that goes out and executes like that. But because of that, they don't have the resources to create a winner, and that's where fans are feeling like it's a bleak future.
You know what, and I'm kind of kicking myself at the moment, because when you said that, it reminded me of a question I wanted to ask Steven, and I didn't, and I'm really disappointed about that. I did want to ask, because he talked about their core players going forward. Obviously, you're talking about, you know, talking about Diggs, talking about Dak, talking about CD. I'm sure they'll get something done with Micah. My question I wanted to ask him was, do you regret giving Dak that contract before the season, seeing how this would have been a prove it deal and he would not have proven it? But then again, literally the exact same thing happened last time, and he was out after game 5 for the rest of the season, and they gave him more money than he had been asking for. So there's no part of me that thinks this contract would have ended up any different.
I mean, that's what Broaddus has been saying, right? Is he's mad at his guys. The guys that he expected.
Yeah.
That I've paid you, Zach Martin, you held out, I paid you. CeeDee Lamb, you held out, I paid you. Dak Prescott, you didn't hold out, but you wanted all that money. All the guys that you've been saying, all right, these are the guys that I decided to make the core of this franchise, haven't performed up to what they were supposed to this year.
And for the people who are saying they want to trade, like Trayvon Diggs, for example, if you want to trade Dak, it's not going to happen. You want to trade CeeDee, not going to happen. Trayvon Diggs and Micah Parsons are the two players. I'm not saying they need to be traded, but if you really want to like tear some stuff down and go big, you can. You don't take as big of a hit on the Trayvon Diggs contract as you might think from a dead money perspective. And obviously you haven't re-signed Micah outside of the rookie deal yet, so you could easily move on from that if you got the correct draft assets. So if people are really upset, those are the two players that you could actually do something about. CeeDee, Dak, you're stuck. Not going to happen. Not going to happen.
I hear you in the history of Jerry Jones.
I don't think it'll happen either.
Jimmy Johnson traded Herschel Walker. Jerry can make up whatever he wants. But then Jerry gets to run the team after they have the divorce, Jimmy and Jerry, and he's never traded a good player somewhat in their prime. He just won't do it. In fact, he adds Jonathan Mingo when the team's horrible.
Yes. And they lost their quarterback.
He will never look at it the way, let's say, a real general manager looks at it, a real football guy looks at it. I mean, that's the one thing that, you know, going back to you, Corey, why did I quit the Cowboys, is they don't have a person running the organization. Jerry's a genius owner. He's just decided for his whole life, I will not have somebody competent at this running the football side. And the thing is, he's not horrible at it. I mean, they can point to winning 36 games. Not,
that's true.
Not this year, but the last 3 years. So he can point at that competency. And they stupidly gave him a award in 2016 for being a good general manager. Like, so I look at it and I just go, you know, it's too bad he doesn't know what he doesn't know. He doesn't know he's not good at this. He played football in college, so he thinks he can actually run a football team. And it's been proven he can't. He can't look at things realistically. And it's going to be like that for the rest of his life. And then you have to, I guess, hope Steven looks at it differently. But who's Steven learning under?
And we've been trying to bring some smiles to people's faces. Alec, if you could get that Despicable Me cut ready again. This is the end of Jerry's back and forth. I'm saying the world knows where the sun is. You get to know that almost a year in advance. First of all, that's a fun thing to say. Someone asked me about the sun. What about the sun? Where's the moon? So we have asked, is this the next step for the Cowboys?
We are going to steal.
Pause for effect.
Now, I don't know that to be the case, Corey.
Maybe that's what he was talking about when he was like, this is rock bottom. Where's the moon? Because it's just a rock floating out in space somewhere, Kevin.
That is a great,
the best thing the Cowboys can do, because they play on Monday night, there will be no sun at kickoff. I would turn off all the lights in the stadium. So maybe that gives the Cowboys a chance and you don't have to see it.
And turn off the moon.
Maybe if they played in the dark.
Yeah. With a glow-in-the-dark ball?
No, just complete darkness.
How are you? Okay. There's no bad ideas today. We're trying to fix things. By the way,
the lights don't work.
On that, Wednesday,
that should be like at 7 p.m. on Monday Night Football. Hey, the lights don't work.
Sorry, guys.
By the way, on Wednesday, we will be giving away tickets to Cowboys Texans in the 10 o'clock hour and the noon o'clock hour. Whether it's for you or you got some friends who live in Texas, in Houston, give them a call. Now, it's time for Mike Likes It.
Okay, so unfortunately, I'm going to stick on the Dallas Cowboys. And I do think if you're a Cowboys fan, this is a little bit fearful. We go back to 8-8s with Jason Garrett.
Yep.
One of the reasons that they could not get over a hump of being a 500 team was that they had back-to-back bad draft classes. And it was like they couldn't overcome it because this isn't recently. Jerry does not like, and Steven, they have a way of setting up the cap where they do not like free agents. They don't shop in Correct. The A class, B class, or C class. They wait till you get down to the guys that kind of nobody wanted, but maybe they fit your system.
Yes. And by the way, for people curious, we've brought this up many times, and I know Jerry will dismiss it and say there's a mechanism to lower the number. Dak's salary cap hit next year is $89 million. So if you don't like that contract, that isn't even kicked in yet.
Yeah. So 2023 is going to go down as a really bad draft class. I get overshown is showing out well. But he's going to be the only guy from that draft class that can play, right?
I I mean, we did see him yesterday. It's way too early, and I can't promise you anything, but I wonder about Awesome Richards now since we saw him. But I understand your point.
So now I go to the 2024 draft class. For being a first-round pick, now, look, these guys have plenty of time to change their, whatever, the definition of what they're going to be. This is only year one for all these guys. But Tyler Guyton is probably, for a first-round pick, he's the worst offensive lineman they've taken in a long time.
Yes.
And now he can change that. There's plenty of
early
time to
on,
change
yes,
it.
Yes, absolutely.
I Marshawn agree. Nealon showed promise, but it was such a short amount of time and then immediately got hurt. Up, so you don't know what he's going to be in the future. Cooper Beebe has been a below average starting center. It doesn't mean he's going to be that his whole career, but he obviously is not ready to play a starting level of center in the NFL. Leofau looks like a rotational linebacker.
I have to admit, I've been pleased-ish, especially as a rookie for Leofau. I see the potential there, but that's the problem is now, what have you seen in this first year? You're like, potential, as opposed to some of these other seasons, the first year, you've been like, holy cow, that kid's going to be good.
And then I'll just go with the last pick that I think plays is Carson got benched yesterday. It's a rookie. These guys are all rookies. Their careers are not defined in
not
eight
all.
Or nine games. But if you start looking at it and you're like, nobody is stepping up to show promise as being a Pro Bowler, a top 10 guy at their position in the NFL. And we know the 2023 draft looks horrible. It looks very much like, help me out, if I'm 2008, 2009. Were
those, was that the backup draft?
Yeah. And it, I don't
I think
know.
It was 2009.
Nine and maybe. But they maybe. Had
yeah, 2009, they had third round was the first round they had a pick. They went with Jason Williams.
And they went, I think the next year was bad too, right?
Dez Bryant, Sean Lee.
That's a good draft. Sorry. What was the, then the 2008, I think, might have been a bad draft.
Felix Jones, Mike Jenkins, Marty B. Yeah.
That they played, all right. But
it was all right.
When the Cowboys have back-to-back bad drafts, they can't overcome it for 3 years. Yeah. And so I do think this is the scary part about the future for the Cowboys. If 2023 is as bad as it looks, the draft class, if 2024 ends up being like what you just named, well, Felix Jones played, you know, Bennett was a backup tight end. Yeah, you start looking at it and going, well, they, but.
How many times do you remember Mozzie Smith and Schoonmaker, like even being on the field, let alone making a play?
So I'm afraid, Cowboy fans, that it goes to the start of this segment is the kind of, hey, where are you at? Where are you going to be? Is this rock bottom? I don't think you've come close to rock bottom because I think this is going to take years to correct because they will not go out and get a, help me out, Montgomery is the running, it's not Montgomery, for Detroit. Who's the,
Jahmyr Gibbs or Gibbs. David Montgomery?
Montgomery Gibbs, is the free agent.
Yeah.
Gibbs is the draft pick. So what they do is teams go out and they look at pieces to fill that, hey, they might cost an extra million or two per year because they're free agents and they're wanted. There's competition. Nothing against Eric Kendricks. I think he's a good guy. He's a fine player. There wasn't competition to get Eric Kendricks. There wasn't like five teams lined up.
San Francisco was the other team. They offered him more. He took money to play for Zimmer. Yeah. But you're right.
Like, he probably regrets it.
He's good on a team where he doesn't have to be the dude that's making all the things happen, where he's good when he's surrounded by better players.
So you're not going to sign any free agents to help the team next year. And you just talked about Dak Prescott. They have to flip switches.
Yes.
Zach Martin, Micah Parsons let you know. Zach Martin's retiring at the end of the year.
By the way, there's like a $17 million bill coming due with that when
he
retires.
There you go. So $17 million on the team, and he's going to retire. And that screws you over there, too. So you just start looking at it, and you go, crap, I think 25 and 26 years are going to be similar to this year. They might not be this bad with injuries, but they're going to be like those years where you went 8-8, where you're just fighting and clawing to be 9-8 or 8-9. And that's kind of about the goal you can be at with the talent on the team until you put back-to-back really good draft classes, the Dez Bryant, Sean Lee draft that you were just talking about that started turning around the organization to get back into being a playoff team. So I look at this, guys, and I think that Cowboy fans, I hate telling you this, it's probably winning one or two more games the rest of this year. I think you're looking at a 7-9 win team in 25 and 26 until possibly your 25 and 26 and 27 draft class can help out this organization.
And then you got to face the reality too that you might be making coaching changes. So your offensive coordinator, head coach, you might bring in somebody new that might want completely different style. And does all the personnel that you have fit what he wants? Is Zimmer going to be around that much longer? Because I believe it's a one-year deal there. You just went from kind of a 3-4, 4-3 base kind of weird thing to you're very much 4-3. And you don't have the personnel to do the defense that he wants this year. So whatever defensive coordinator you bring in, now you're going to have to change up that personnel. It could be a 2-3-year experiment before you get the right team with the right coaches. And who knows if you have the right coaches in that time that are going to help that team make that transition.
It's frustrating, Mike, because I'm frustrated for two reasons. Because you pick now to bring up the future struggles of the Cowboys, but more importantly, because I don't think you're wrong. Yeah. That's what I'm really frustrated about. I'm not actually frustrated at you. I'm frustrated because I do not think that your logic is incorrect.
Now, could history repeat itself? Who knows? But Washington at the time scared the death out of the Cowboy fans because they drafted the kid, Robert Griffin III, from Baylor. And it looked like, oh, no, he's rookie of the year. Washington has figured it out. But they still had Dan Snyder. So he makes sure to ruin everything. They don't have Dan Snyder anymore.
Yep.
So now you look at the future of the division, and it does look like for the first time, I'm going to say in my life, because even though Doug Williams and Mark Rippon won Super Bowls, they were not franchise quarterbacks. They were quickly like done in
Washington.
You think
they've got the dude in Jaden Daniels?
I think they do. I think that they have a quarterback now for about the next 12 years that they can build around. And for the next 3 to 4 years, they get, I call it league minimum, but they have a guy on a rookie contract. So now you can really build around that guy in 25, 26, and 27 while the Cowboys and the Eagles, for example, are paying $50 to $60 million approximately per year for their quarterback. You have Washington, who is paying, I don't know, what is it, $8 to $10 million for the number two overall pick. So I just look at this and go, how are the Cowboys supposed to turn this around? And you better hope, I don't think it'll happen, but you better hope the Giants don't get the draft right one of these days and draft a quarterback.
Yeah.
That's good, because they're going to have a top five pick most likely. So I just look at it. Philadelphia is a solid organization. When it doesn't go well for them, they change a whole bunch of things. I think that's the other thing as a Cowboy fan is when Philadelphia won the Super Bowl and then the next year it went bad, they're like, Doug Peterson, you're gone. You're gone. You're gone. You're gone. We're changing this all up. We're trading for AJ Brown. We're doing this. We're doing that. And it's like, holy cow. Didn't you guys just win the Super Bowl a year ago? And they're like, not good enough. Changing it all. So I'm not saying sometimes that can backfire, but we know that Jerry will change absolutely nothing. Yeah. It doesn't matter what the record is. It doesn't matter what the playoff result is. He is going to get a new coaching staff. He's going to get a new head coach. But he's not changing the players. He's just going to say, I just hope they're healthier.
Yeah.
And I hope our young guys perform better. Tyler Guyton's going to perform better. BB's going to perform better. Nealon's going to be healthy. You know, hey, that was the first year for Carson. He's going to be fine. You know, and so you just like,
it feels like a few years ago when the Mavs played the Suns in the Western Conference Finals. And we were like, they're going to say this. We just needed Timmy. If we just had Tim Hardaway, we would have been fine because we would have had three-point shooting. We had too much out of Dorian Finney-Smith and those other guys. We just needed Timmy. That's, the exact excuse.
I don't know. I think Nico Harrison is a great general manager, too.
I do, too.
And you see the difference between him and Mark Cuban. Mark Cuban's a genius when it comes to money and building up something that you could listen to games on the internet. And he became a billionaire because of it. So I'm not taking anything away from him. Mark Cuban didn't train at all to be a general manager, but being around the game enough, he thought he could be a general manager. As soon as he was like, maybe I'm not good at this, let me see what Nico can do. We see all the positive things that Nico is doing. And then to go back again to Micah Parsons and Trayvon Diggs, and they don't get it because they're not getting told that what they're doing is wrong. So I think if, let's say, Kyrie Irving, who's been an outspoken person in his life and sometimes been considered a killer of organizations, okay? I do think Nico would go to, if he said something about Jason Kidd, if Kyrie Irving were to say something horrible about Jason Kidd, well, Jason Kidd can go coach another team. He's not even putting in the work that we're putting in. Is I think that Nico would say, Kyrie, behind closed doors, we need to talk. Here's why this destroys us as a franchise. This hurts us. And I don't, it's bad that we're on television because of this. It's really bad that we are now on television because of what you said about the head coach. But in a way, I know he's not going to get praised, but it just goes back to, this is why the Cowboys will never be good. Jerry doesn't see this, and Steven, because he's the son, doesn't see this as how bad it is for an organization when you allow the major players on your team to speak out to the media and disrespect them. That's not as big as then speaking out and saying your coach doesn't put in the work.
Yeah.
Even if it's true, you don't say it. You go tell Jerry. You go tell Will McClay. You go tell Steven, hey, here's one of the reasons we're not good that we would never find out.
Mm-hmm.
Is our coaching staff isn't putting in the work necessary. You don't say it after you lose 34-6 because then it's like, where's your responsibility?
I can't wait to hear that question asked. I'm sure they'll run with the McCarthy on G-Bag today with somebody asked Micah saying that all these people put in way more work than Mike McCarthy.
I didn't hear it. I didn't hear the quote firsthand. Well, wait, go see.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for the C-Block starring Corey Majors.
We dive in on this weekend's hits and misses, a hit that you didn't suspect would happen next on The Fan.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.